Gather and read a verse of scripture today from the book of Mark in the 9th chapter, Mark chapter 9. Thank you, sir. Mark chapter 9, and I, for the sake of time, and I'm going to just read this one verse. You can hold on to that text if you'd like. We'll be going back there after a while. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If thou canst believe. Everybody say if. That's it. We're going to preach today about if. If. You may be seated. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating. And yet, don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to, broken, and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn or pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, so hold on when there's nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, nor lose the common touch. If foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much. If you can feel the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. Words of Rudyard Kipling, great words of truth and challenge to us today. This simple word, if. It's a little word, but my, what a meaning. I tried to look it up today in my trusty Webster's. I don't know if we're much better off having looked it up, but we'll try. I think even Webster had a little problem with this one. It's a conjunction in its normal use grammatically. It implies supposition, assumption, and condition. It is sometimes mean even though or whether, an introduction to an exclamatory phrase. So I told you it's a big definition for a little word. If. We use it quite a lot. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, the word if appears 1,595 times. If I look tired, it's because I've been counting. Not really, I just looked it up. Amen. The first time it appears in Scripture, God used it when he was speaking to Cain. When he said this, he said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If it's a conditional, if you do well, it's an assumption. If you do well, it's a supposition. If you do well, won't you be accepted? We find it in the first use in the New Testament when Satan came to Jesus. He'd been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and Satan comes to him. And he starts out his introduction with these words. He said, if you are the Son of God. One of the first things that Satan wants to do to you is make you doubt your identity in Jesus Christ. If he can make you doubt who you are, I have had the baptism of the Holy Ghost for 44 years, and still the devil comes to me from time to time and says, how do you know you got the Holy Ghost? And I give the same answer I've been given for 44 years. I said, because I spoke in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance like the Bible says. That's how I know I've got the Holy Ghost. And if you won't get out of here, I'm going to pray through and talk in tongues a little bit right now. Amen. But you know what? He'll come. He doesn't care how long you've been serving God. If Jesus didn't intimidate him, you're not going to. He said, if you are the Son of God, doubt who you are. Doubt what you can do. But Jesus didn't blink an eye. He had no doubt whatsoever. He knew who he was. Hallelujah. He said, if you are, prove it by turning these stones into bread. Amen. Jesus quoted the scripture right back to him. And he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'll give it this to the devil. He didn't give up easy. The Bible says that he took him to a high place. Amen. And he takes him up to the pinnacle of the temple, and he says, now, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down. And then he thinks, well, I'll quote a little scripture myself. He said, because it's written, the angels that have charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, the devil can quote the Bible, but he never gets it right. Amen. Jesus said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. And the third time, he says to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, fall down and worship me. And all these things, I'm about to say things. It's just stuff. He said, all this stuff I will give thee. A lot of people trading for the stuff. A lot of people selling God for stuff. A lot of people just chasing stuff. Amen. We all got it. If you don't think you do, just move. But don't call me. I preached about stuff one time. Brother Marshall come up to help me move, and he said, what was you preaching about, Pastor? He said, you sure got a lot of stuff. Yeah, I got stuff. You got stuff. We all got stuff. Amen. That's all that's in this world. Stuff! And the devil said to Jesus, if you'll worship me, I'll give you all this stuff, these things. And Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. Don't ever trade your worship for stuff. Amen. Stuff is nothing. Stuff passes away. Stuff. We had a garage sale yesterday for stuff somebody paid a lot of money for one time. Had to have it. And then it just donated. Amen. I'm sorry, Brother Neil. Somebody donated something they didn't intend to. And I sure feel bad about that. Amen. But you know, we take stuff. You know? Amen. Every time I see that, I think of that. I think, you know, all this, you know, somebody paid a lot of money for this shirt one time. It was new, and they had to have it. And these shoes, my, these beautiful shoes, and somebody just paid money for these, just couldn't bear to walk out without them, and then a few years later, they mean nothing. Stuff, that's the way stuff is. Amen, understand, never sell worship for stuff. Never belittle the things of God to get a bunch of stuff. No matter what it is. Amen. And so Jesus, the Bible says, in the devil left him alone. You start worshiping and the devil leave you alone. You get on worship and you get to worship, but he can't handle that. He'll like you grumbling. He likes your complaining. He likes it when you find fault. He loves all of that. He loves pity parties when you get down on yourself and down on everybody else. He loves that. He'll hang around till the sun goes down and party with you through the night. Hey, amen. He enjoys all that, but you get to worship in God, and the devil's got to go because he can't handle worship. Amen. So Jesus ran him off with worship. And the Bible said angels came and ministered to him. You want to bring angels into your life? You start worshiping God. You start praising God. You start living for God. You start serving God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you'll have an angelic host. Amen. Heaven's drawn to worship. Heaven loves worship. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it brings the presence of the Lord. So Satan started all this stuff with, if you are. And the devil hadn't quit that, Brother Neil. He's still doing it. He said, if you had the Holy Ghost, if you did, you wouldn't say that. You wouldn't act like that. Well, it's not that you don't have the Holy Ghost. It's just you got this stuff hanging off of you. Amen. So you just say, hey, I know I shouldn't have said what I said, and I shouldn't have done what I've done. Amen. But I do have the Holy Ghost. And if you'll give me just a minute or two here, I'm going to get tuned up with God. I'm going to pray through. I'm going to repent. I'm going to start worshiping. And I'm going to have church around here. Amen. And I promise he'll leave you alone. But he'll always start with that if stuff. Jesus was walking one day in Galilee, and this man called out to him, and he got a little carried away. You know, people get carried away when they come to Jesus. I love what happened to one of our friends. My wife witnessed a young man's quite wealthy. His family was very wealthy, and he came to church with us years ago. He got over here at this altar. Jesus came down and he started praying. He was a very proud Venezuelan young man. And he started praying, and all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost hit him. He fell on the ground like a rock. He hit the floor. He lay there talking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. He laid there for a good while. And all of a sudden, his eyes opened. He had this most shocked look on his face. And the first thing he said is, I lost control. Yes, you did. And it's a good thing. Amen. It's a good thing to lose control to God. Amen. And that's how he got the Holy Ghost. He lost control. And that's how you get the Holy Ghost. When you lose control, you get the Holy Ghost. You yield, he comes in, he takes over, and everything's going to be all right. This man, when Jesus came, he got a little out of control. When he came, he was supposed to holler at a distance, but he couldn't help himself. He drew near. And he came real close. And he said, I'm a leper. And he said, here it is. If you will, you can cleanse me. He didn't doubt his ability. He just doubted his desire. If you care enough, you could do it. I know you could. Amen. You know, sometimes life beats us into a place where we have been rejected so long that we wonder if anybody really cares. It's not that we don't doubt that God can do things, but we just don't know if he will. And that was his condition. He lived life as an outcast. He was cast out of his house. He was cast out of his family. He was cast out of the temple and the synagogue, and he lived with other lepers, and that was his lot, and that was his place. And he knew that, and he knew it wouldn't ever get better. Until the day he died, that's the way he was going to live, unless he could find somebody that could cleanse him of his leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, I don't know how he, I don't know where his faith came from, but he had no doubt whatsoever about his ability. He said, "If you will, you can." Hallelujah. And when Jesus found that faith, he looked beyond the if. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad he looks beyond the ifs? Because sometimes we can't help but slip an if in there. And so he said, if you will. And the Lord said, he just turned around and he said, I will. Hallelujah. And he reached out and he did something. Oh, I've wondered how long it may have been since that man had felt the touch of a hand that was not a fellow leper. But the Lord of glory and the King of Kings reached out and touched his diseased body. And as soon as he touched him, the Bible said immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I don't know about leprosy because I've never had leprosy, thank God. But I do know what it's like to come to Jesus Christ and be covered with the filth of sin, old ugly thoughts and filthy deeds and actions in my life and things I'm ashamed of, and ask the Lord of glory, if you'll touch me, I can be clean, and have him reach down and touch me with the Holy Spirit of God, and from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I'm cleansed and I'm whole. I know what that's like. I'll never forget the first time that I came to God and repented of my sins. And I'll never forget how clean I felt on the inside. Anybody here remember that? Praise God. You came hopeless and you were full of hope. You came troubled and you were full of peace. You came bound and you left free, walking in liberty. Thank God for his touch. Amen. And so I can identify with that man, because I didn't have leprosy. I had something just as deadly, because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Amen. And so I understand that. But the Lord took care of the if. He just simply touched him. I will. Let me tell you something today. If you're here today and you doubt if God will, he will. I promise you, he will. If you don't think so, give him a chance. Give him a chance. Amen. You might have an if in there, but he can deal with ifs. Amen. And then a man came, and we find him here in the ninth chapter of the book of Mark. He was a father, and he brought his son to Jesus' disciples because his son had this ugly spirit, suicidal spirit. And he brought his son to the Lord, hoping that they would be able to help. And so I can only imagine what that was like. They had to watch this boy 24 hours a day. He would walk by water and suddenly he would plunge himself in and put his head under and try to suck water into his lungs. And they would yank him away and pump the water out and try to restore breath. If you went by a fire, he would try to cast himself in the flames and they would have to pull him out and extinguish the flames. And had to watch him everywhere. All the day long, all night long, they could never leave him alone. And weary, they brought this boy to Jesus. And I want you to listen to what the father said. Jesus saw him talking to some, his disciples were talking to some of the leaders, and so he goes up to find out what's going on. And this is when the man tells him. He said, I brought my son to your disciples, hoping that they could do something. He said, but they couldn't help me. Verse 18, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that he should cast him out, but they couldn't. Embarrassing. He would fall down and gnash teeth and foam at the mouth. Oh, what a sight. And then the father, look in verse number 21, Jesus asked a question. He said, how long has it been like this? And he said, since he was a child. Verse 22, and oftentimes it casts him in the fire and in the waters to destroy him. And then here's the question. He said, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help. Everybody say, if you can. If you can. If you can, have compassion. Help us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to see what Jesus did with the if. He repositioned it. Amen. So Jesus turns it right around, 23rd verse, and Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe. He said, I got my own if. If you can believe. All things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. You see, God's got an if too. God just simply says, if you can believe me, if you can believe me, I can do it. If you can believe me, I will do it. God acts on our faith. And then the man cries out and he said with tears, he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Anybody ever been there? You were believing, but there's a little vacillation somewhere. Amen. I'll believe, but help my unbelief. Amen. We don't need any help with our faith. We need help with our unbelief. Faith's good. It doesn't need any help. It's the part where we have our doubts and our fears. That's where we need some help. So he's so honest with God. And God looked at his honesty. You know, God loves people that are just honest with him. I've heard people say, fake it till you make it. That doesn't work in the kingdom of God. God doesn't want anything fake. I heard of a school of prophets one time when they were teaching the young men how to be prophets, and they said you'll get it wrong sometimes, but you just got to keep trying and fake it till you make it. That's a false prophet. I don't care if he's got oil dripping off his fingertips and a flashing cross on his forehead. Amen. God doesn't work on fakery. Never, ever. God is always true. Amen. So if you mess up, just be man up. Amen. Just say, I messed up. I thought God said, apparently he didn't say. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. If you say and God doesn't say and God doesn't do, it was you that messed up. It wasn't God. Amen. So he tells the man says, help my unbelief. And Jesus speaks to the boy, amen, and the spirit that was in him, and said, thou deaf and dumb spirit, he said, I charge thee, come out of him and enter into him no more. Amen. And the spirit left. Praise God. I'm telling you today, he can and he will. There's nothing he can't do, and there's nothing he won't do if we can believe him. We've got to put the if in the right place. Amen. We can't put it before God. Amen. You've got to put it before your faith. Can you believe? Even if it's imperfect. Even if it's imperfect. God doesn't have to have perfect faith. He can deal with the ifs. if you can just bring it to Him. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time here this morning. Amen. All He needs is an opportunity. Praise. All He needs is an opportunity. Amen. Would you give God a chance this morning? Have you got some need in your life? It may not seem as desperate, or it may. It may be just like this person. You may be like the leper, and you understand if God doesn't help me, something drastic's going to happen here. It's all but over if God doesn't intervene. Or it may not be that desperate, but you just have some needs in your life, and you're looking for some answers. Would you give God an opportunity? Would you give God a chance here today to show you what He can do? He can handle the ifs. Just give Him a chance. Just give Him an opportunity. Bring it to Him sincerely. Even if your faith is not perfect, even if you still have some doubts in your mind, just bring it to Jesus. He's